Welcome back to Behind the Veil, a show that provides insight into how to produce a successful wedding. My name is Keith Willard. I am the host and creator of the show, as well as an event planner here in South Florida. It's great to have everybody back. Today, we're going to be talking about the do's and don'ts of wedding planning during the age of COVID. Originally, when all of this started, most of our clients were opting to postpone their wedding to hopefully circumvent some of the things that we're going to be talking about today. But as the weeks and months have progressed, more and more of our clients are opting to keep their wedding date and doing smaller, more intimate events. As we have produced several of these weddings, we have learned a lot about the things that work and the things that don't. Normally, Behind the Veil has a Behind the Veil crew that helps navigate and ask questions, but help navigate the conversation. But today, it's a round robin. And so everybody is a guest. And so I am super excited to introduce our usual Marcy Gutenberg with An Affair to Remember by Marcy. It's great to have you back.
Hello. Thank you, Keith. Great to see you.
You're a guest. Today we're a guest. Yay. And next, obviously, is Brooke Logan Stoner, a production assistant for Keith Willard Events. Bruce, it's good to have you back.
It's always great to be here. Hello, everyone.
Yay. And then now we have Anna Hess with Anna Hess Events. Anna, I'm so excited that you get to be part of today's conversation.
Thank you for having me. Hi, everyone.
And Welcome. Then Tiffany Anselmo with Bliss Photo. So she is our photographer on our panel today. Tiffany is also a newlywed.
Yay! Yay! So,
I know, look at her showing the bling. So she has obviously a unique perspective as both a photographer for events and as a new bride. So I'm really excited to hear your perspective on this. And so we're going to get this conversation started by, I'm going to ask each of you the one thing that you have learned because or doing a wedding during the age of COVID. Marcy, go. I put her on the spot right away.
I think the biggest thing that I've seen, that I've taken in, is that you need to be a little bit flexible. First of all, we're dealing with something that nobody has ever dealt with before. There's a lot of, typically with invitations specifically, which is what I deal with, typically there is a lot of etiquette involved. And because things are a little bit askew than the norm, we have to learn to be patient. We need to learn to be a little flexible, maybe a little bit more relaxed on some of the etiquette formats. So I think that's probably the biggest takeaway for me.
And then what about you, Anna? What has been kind of your biggest thing that you've learned during COVID? Obviously, we're going to discuss much more, but just the first thing that's on your brain.
The first thing that's on my brain would be to take a deep breath and know that it's beyond your control and that it's okay to postpone and not have a date, but just know that you are making that transition into that next event.
And then, of course, Tiffany, how about you, love?
I think as a bride, I realize you really have to let stuff go. There might have been things that are really important to you, but you have to really kind of prioritize because sadly right now you can't get everything and everyone that you want. As a photographer, you have to realize that people needing to be respectful of people's space. When you're doing group photos, you've got to be very careful about proximity and who's comfortable with standing next to each other. And you got to have to gauge people and watch them and be respectful of their space. And that can be really hard when you're trying to take a group photo.
And then of course, Brooke, you know, we just finished doing a wedding. What is kind of your big takeaway from this, like last weekend?
Patience is a virtue, for sure. With the client, with your assistant, but also with your boss.
That's a good one.
God, is that not true? But I mean, oh my God. I mean, guys, the fact that, you know, at the beginning, we were all so busy because we were moving weddings. We were like, okay, we got to postpone that event. We got to adjust our contracts. We got to redo our schedule for next year. I mean, Tiffany, you're a photographer. Marcy, you're an invitation person. I mean, we were busy with the relocation of the date, right? For like the first 6 months. And now it's more and more brides are saying, no, I want to keep my date. I want to, like, you know, but I'm going to do a more intimate event, a backyard event like we just did. You know, Anna, you just finished a big wedding, correct?
That's right. Yeah. Well, the numbers went down, obviously, but she was looking at originally 300 and she wound up having 60. And wow. it was really beautiful. But, you know, with that, you know, there's a lot of emotional, you know, like Marcy saying, etiquette of changing things and wording on saying, I really want you to be there that day. But now it's a hybrid event and we're going to be on Zoom. And, you know, people have to understand that, you know, these circumstances are out of your control. And, you know, I think it's, you know, you have to lean on your bridal party too. I mean, I always say this, but, you know, there's a reason that you want your tribe to be near you is because they can help you through this and they can make some phone calls for you and help you make those decisions and all those things. I think it's really important.
And I love the fact that you said lean on your bridal party, because I think now more than ever it's leaning on. But one of the big things that it came up recently is that it's a much different affair to plan a wedding in a hotel versus planning a wedding in your backyard. It's a completely different, like the circumstances are completely different. You know, when you're at a hotel, they already have the tables and the chairs and the linen and the kitchen and the food staff and, you know, and bringing that all into a different forum has challenges that have to be met. And I was talking to you guys before we went on that my big takeaway from doing events recently are restrooms. I know that's not a super fun subject to talk about, but
important. You
know, it's important because
it was the highlight of ours.
It was the highlight of ours. Oh gosh, was it? And we'll get into that. But you know, but a lot of people forget that, you know, yeah, you can take care of all of these issues and do the event outdoors and help, you know, keep people protected because in the open air, but people still have to use a restroom. And a lot of times then they end up going into your house anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So
Tiffy, you just got married, right?
I was so really happy. I had three bathrooms.
Well, and right, you were like, I have three bathrooms.
Like hand towels and wipes and stuff, but you know,
Yeah, but you were just saying before we went live, you were just discussing something that I thought was super important, is that, you know, as a bride, you were worried about keeping people safe and that was a major worry.
I woke up the next day and one of the very first thoughts is, I hope we were all trying to be respectful, but I'm really hoping that nobody has gotten sick from my day. Like nobody, I don't want any, you know, I'm like holding my breath for that window of time to make sure that God help us if anybody got sick, because then I started feeling really guilty and I'm just kind of holding my breath to make sure that everybody ended up safe on the other side of things.
Right. Well, and you know, for my 51st birthday, I went to Disney and was surrounded by, you know, 30,000 people. And I actually was so worried that when, you know, I got back, I was like with bated breath, like, oh, please, God, do not let me be positive. And then I went and got tested, you know, before the event, just to make sure, because I didn't want to be the super spreader. You know, so the first big difference is that as a planner, we are so involved, and with a photographer, you are so in people's face constantly. You know, our health and safety is got to be number one, right?
Well said. Yeah, I agree with that.
Like you're with a bride, you're posed this way, and I've really had to learn to. I talk with my hands anyway. You'll see. I'm really like turning your head and then turn your head this way, and you know, normally I will. I very much, I'm with the bride from the time that she puts on the dress to the time she throws the bouquet. And I'm really try to be a buffer at times. Not all of my brides have planners who can calm them down. And I'm normally the person that'd be like, if you need a breath, blame me, you know, tell your people you need a minute and you can say, oh, the photographer needs me. And I'm not used to not being able to hold their hand and say, okay, take a minute. You really, it's hard. We're very touchy feely. And it's very hard. It's hard to take that away off. And also just, again, being aware that people may not want to, they want to take a group photo, but it's like, are they going to take their mask off? I'm like, you have to ask that question. I'm like, do you want to take your mask off for this shot? And you have a lot of people who are just pulling it below their chins, their beards. And I'm like, well, that's going to look great. You can Photoshop that, right? And I'm like, you know,
Wait, you can Photoshop that with their real face? Is that what they were asking?
Yeah, they assume kind of if they take their head, their masks down here, like here, that I can just magically make that disappear. And I cannot. I mean,
that's interesting.
But so, that's that's not something that we can do.
I wouldn't have even thought of that, actually.
Me neither.
Okay, so go away. And I'm like, I mean, I could.
You're a magician. Can't you make everything just disappear? Like all the wrinkles and the extra weight? Gosh. She's like, yeah, okay.
But you do kind of have to remember that some people don't want to be touched. And you really try to, with your own safety and your own health, making sure that you're, you know, you might know some people at the wedding as a guest, right. But you don't know everybody. And you don't know where they were the day before or the week before and how they live. So I think everybody is very much wanting it to all be over, but aware that it is not.
Well, and as a former hotel person, I can tell you that people are nasty, to be honest. They just are. People are nasty. You don't know how nasty people are until you have to clean their room, you know, and see how they live. And so you hope that most people stay clean and safe, but I can guarantee you they don't. And Anna, you had brought up earlier also signage. And I thought that was really interesting because that's not something I would have thought of to remind people.
I'm sorry, Keith. I couldn't hear you. Could you repeat that? Oh,
yeah. No, signage. You had talked about signage, about reminding people to stay safe. I mean, I hadn't even thought about, you know, putting up signs to remind people to keep their mask on because.
Yeah, we at the last big wedding I did, you know, people started feeling comfortable because they were in the room and there was some alcohol involved. And, you know, throughout the party, you know, the first few minutes, it was like, oh, yeah, the masks are coming off. But then we had to remind them constantly, if you're going out to the hallway where the club members are, you still have to have your mask. And a lot of people had a hard time with that after the night progressed. And we literally had staff just on the door to remind them that they could not go out of the room without a mask on.
Well, that's not something I would have thought of.
And on the dance floor.
And on the dance floor.
Yeah. Actually, they rented out the whole room. So their party did not have to wear masks while in the room, but outside in the normal club area that, you know, they had to abide by the rules. And you know, it was just challenging as the night went on. You know, you can imagine as everybody's partying and all of a sudden they have to run to the ladies' room really quick. They don't remember their mask, and we were there. And the family actually had made beautiful custom masks for the event. So we had an extra and we just kept them there with the staff. And we said, we know you're probably not going to make it back to your table into the ladies' room or wherever you want to be. So just please use this mask. And thank you. So it was really smart of the family to overorder the masks because we had them available right at the door when they really needed them the most.
And I like the fact that they were monogrammed because, you know, our wedding this last weekend also had that monogram and they were fairly inexpensive. I think they were only like $2 each or $2.30 each. And we got them from a Discount Mugs. I'm not pushing that. I'm just saying that's where we got them. Discount Mugs had them for like $2, $2.50.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's 2020 and 2021, we're going to need masks. So we might as well make it a part of our event, our logo, our theme. It could be as simple as just your color, you know, so and you don't have to go crazy and get it printed out, but there are a lot of great ways to keep yourself safe. And we had sanitizer on all of the bars and all of the areas just throughout the whole entire party. I mean, we must have had 30, 40 different sanitizing stations. We were.
It's so in vogue. Sanitizing stations are so in vogue right now.
But yeah.
How do you handle reminding people to put their mask on after they've had a few cocktails?
We had staff to do that. I mean, we nicely had people greeting people at the door and just reminding them if they didn't have it in their pocket or, you know, in their little clutch bag that we could provide them one, but it was a private club and that they needed to follow the rules and that we want to keep everybody safe. And, you know, you touched on about even just being an event planner or a photographer or anybody, you know, even invitation. It's like, we're trying to keep ourselves safe because of our clients. You know, we don't want to meet somebody for an invitation and think, oh, I just was at a wedding for 60 people, or I was a photographer at a wedding and I was intimate with the family and they were from all over the country. And it's the same thing. It's like, you know, leading up to these big events, event planners have to change their lives a little bit just to make sure that they're going to be safe for that event and after, because that is the number one concern is safety for all of us. We certainly don't want our couples to be sick or spread anything to their loved ones or their family or bring it home to our own family.
Did you have anybody react badly to the reminder?
At the church, I think people were more upset by wearing it. At the venue, no. I think they, even as the night went on with drinks, they were fine with having it handed to them. But at the church, I think, you know, people felt a little uncomfortable just because it was very intimate. And, you know, the bride and the father and the groom were very lucky to be able on the aisle portion to be without a mask for their right. for their photos. But up on the altar, they had to wear one because, again, you know, the priest is conducting mass throughout the week and he has to be safe for everybody in that parish. So it was something that we all had to kind of just understand during rehearsal. The rules were laid out. So it was,
you can't assume that God's going to protect you in a church. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Was it but you would, so then at a home? Cause I feel like we were, I made my friend tell everybody since I was hidden away and I was like, just tell everybody. And they're like, yeah, she'll be mad. They'll be mad at me but they were really actually really understanding at a hotel. People think, oh, well, it's the hotel rules. But when you're starting to do stuff in your own backyard or your house, I think that people feel like they can let go of that rule a little bit more. And I'm like, no, my mom has 1.5 lungs and I really need you to wear my mask. You know, and I need you to do that because I don't want to wake up, you know. So I think that was there when you were at the house, Keith, at your wedding this past weekend.
Yeah.
Were as strict as what when you've been at a venue?
So it was really interesting because the two sides of the family were very different. Mm-hmm. We had one side of the family, the in-laws, quote unquote, who were very nervous about coming to the wedding. And even the grandparents ended up leaving like after the ceremony, even though we had done separate seating for them. I mean, and the floor plan was crazy too, because we had three large tables for one side of the family that had like, you know, 4 to 8 people. And then we had four other tables that had like 2 people each in order to, you know, allow them to feel safe. But even the mother-in-law that was super, super worried about staying safe, who was like, had her mask on and she would literally put her hand up to anybody that did, including us, right? If we didn't have her mask on, she's like, ah. Even her at the end of the night was forgetting to put her mask back on. So I was just watching how people kind of get used to their surroundings.
Yeah.
You know, it's surprising. Like that people just forget.
And maybe that's one good thing that, you know, I've learned with the past events that I've done is order extra masks, have them conveniently right there for them to, you know, put one on.
Well, and I think that's, I feel like that's like our number one thing for people that are planning a wedding, order extra masks. Don't
there you go.
People have their own masks and buy sanitizer. You know, yeah. it's not like toilet paper. You can still find sanitizer, and now probably more than ever since, you know, vodka distilleries changed what they were doing and started to do sanitizer. Damn it! Anyway,
that's true.
Go back to making vodka, people. Go back to making vodka. We need it.
I'm sick of this white claw.
Yeah, Tiffany's like, what? What are you talking about?
I was around from the store the other day that you walk in and it smelled like tequila, like bad tequila, but. I'm thirsty.
Brooke and I both
are.
You're like, yum.
Bad tequila, Keith.
Sanitizer does not like tequila, you say?
Okay. And you mentioned Keith's favorite.
I know, yeah. Like tequila? Okay.
I saw your eyes perk a little bit.
It's like,
it could be for bachelor parties.
Yeah, you can't get the car, just drink the sanitizer. You'll be fine. No, actually.
Maybe they'll use it more.
Don't. If you're listening to this, don't drink the sanitizer. Oh, my God.
Right.
You don't want to be responsible for that.
No, maybe they'll be more apt to use it more, you know, because it smells so good.
Right?
Yeah. Could be really good for bachelorette parties.
Well, because I saw one recently with glitter in it, which I thought was interesting. I was like, first of all, glitter gets everywhere and it's con. But I was like, well, that's glitter an interesting kind of take. You know,
yeah, glitter. I'd be like, oh,
yeah, glitter lasts a long time.
Well, what about so which of you have done an event like in a backyard or not in a hotel? Okay, so yeah, everybody.
On everybody. Saturday on Halloween.
Right. Okay. So everybody, did anybody worry about like, well, let's go to restrooms. Did anybody worry about restrooms or about parking or about some of those other things that you might, that are kind of built into a hotel? You know, what were your experience?
I went around my neighborhood and I knocked on doors and I said, oh, by the way, and I felt weird too, because I didn't want them to think I was having some crazy party. I didn't want to be judged by my neighbors. You're having this big, you know, and I'm like, no, it's, you know, this intimate. And they were really, 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 really kind and really congratulatory, but they were very appreciative that I was letting them know. And that's not something you normally think about. And we wanted to make sure too, when the caterer pulled up and Frost 321 came up, we wanted to make sure that they had parking spots that they could pull out of and not get blocked in. So those are those things that you don't really normally think about when you have valet, when people want to leave early. You know, I try to remind people, if you're going to be taking off early, make sure you park on the street and not in the driveway, because you're going to get blocked in. And then we got to figure out who owns what car that's blocking you in. And you wouldn't normally think about, you know, making sure that, you know, so that was.
Well, I think it's actually kind of interesting that you brought up perception. I love the idea that, you know, because it's not something that I thought about actually with this last wedding, is how the neighbors perceived the event, you know.
Because I'm totally judgy when I see neighbors have big parties and I'm like, do you know we're having a pandemic? And then I was like, oh my God.
We are too.
I'm that person.
You're the person, you're like wagging your finger at them and like, how dare you have this? Yeah. I mean, well, Marcy, I mean, you're kind of the invitation expert here. I mean, would it be way off base to say, oh, wouldn't it be nice to put together a nice letter that, you know, maybe is on special paper or something that you, or is that even a thing, like people touching the letter?
No, I mean, most of the time, I mean, when I was living in, I just recently moved, and in our community that I was living in, we used to just go to our neighbors and talk to them and explain what was going on. But that was right at the beginning of the pandemic.
Right.
So, mm-hmm. I mean, you do kind of think about those things as far as, you know, do I need to tell my neighbors? And I would say, yes, you should definitely tell at least your immediate neighbors. Because they're going to wonder, why are there so many cars in front of your house?
Well, okay. And like the wedding this last weekend, they actually ended up inviting their neighbors to the cocktail party at the end of the event. So, you know, They're like, oh, drop by after, you know, after 8 o'clock and join us for a beer if you feel comfortable, you know, which I thought was nice, of course.
That is nice.
But nobody did, obviously, because they're like, you know, already worried about COVID and here's a whole group of strangers, you know. But I think it's that courtesy, the idea of courtesy first and foremost versus, mm-hmm. you know, whether or not they really come over. But I think I would bet on them coming over.
Or bring them a bottle of wine or something just to kind of, you know, show your, you know, your gratitude.
Or tequila smelling
sanitizer.
Like, here you go. Here's your very own tequila sanitizer. Congratulations. Happy birthday. Right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One point I actually mentioned on a prior show is when you're doing an outside venue of any sort, whether it's during COVID or not, I highly recommend making sure that you have enough lighting at the end of the event so that you mm-hmm. can do a proper teardown and so that any guests that are lingering will get the notion that it's time to leave. But more so for safety purposes. I think a lot of times, you know, things are overlooked, and that's definitely one you don't want to overlook. You don't want your staff or anybody to be stressed out about calling and so forth. So, and people are there carrying equipment and it's not a level field, you know, a level area. So you do want to make sure there is proper lighting.
Well, one of the things that we discovered is that people like to hang out at a house versus a hotel. You know, so where the end of the event, you would say, okay, the event ends at 11 o'clock. Yeah. When you're in a hotel, the bar shuts down. People are like, okay, it's time to go. When you're at a house, it seems like people feel a little bit more comfortable about lounging and hanging out and not having that strict cutoff. And that I feel like that needs to go into the planning timeline. It's like everybody's gonna leave at 10 o'clock or at 11 o'clock. I mean, Anna, how do you feel about that?
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, that's something that you have to discuss with your client right away, that, you know, normally we would be wrapping things up within 20 minutes of the, you know, the timeline, you know, the band's coming down, the floor is coming up. But at a, you know, at a an event like that, for example, I had an event this weekend and they wanted to stay, but that's something that was in the contract that we were going to linger for at least an hour where her clients were there at a medical spa event. and they were purchasing packages. So she didn't want the tables to be brought down. She didn't want anything broken down. So that meant us staying there longer and, you know, contracting companies to come a little later than we would have normally had. But that's part of the new planning and, you know, the new style of entertaining.
Did you guys talk about insurance at all? Because I know that, you know, hotels typically require insurance, right? Because, you know, they all expect you to have at least $1 million policy to cover any damages and what have you. I don't think that's going to be something that most people think about when it comes to doing a wedding in their own house to make sure that the vendors have, right? Well, and it's something actually I'm just now thinking about because I was thinking, God, I got lucky because I didn't actually, all the vendors I know had insurance, but I didn't specifically ask. And that was a miss on my part. Say, you know what? Send me your insurance policies and make sure that this address is noted on the insurance policy.
Right.
Did anybody else get that?
I'm insured and all of my events are insured for $1 million because that gives me a peace of mind of all the vendors and I are on the same page. Everybody's legit and we're moving forward.
Well, like I'm insured. And like I said, everybody would, but I didn't specifically say, put this address on your insurance policy. And I should have, I should have that. Yeah. You know, and that's something that's part of the learning curve, you know, at a hotel, it would have been required. I would have just automatically asked because the hotel asked me. But
so true. And we might just be finding as event planners that, you know, somebody might be saying like, oh, my Aunt Michelle cooks and she's a baker. And, you know, you can't just have your aunt as the baker. We need it to be a legit baker with rules and regulations and insurance. Safe. And we don't want your cousin Vinny in there being the DJ. We need a real event group coming in there, you know. And that's what's so wonderful about working with an event planner is that they have these vendors that they choose to work with because of the reason of their reputation, you know?
Well, I think that's part of the learning curve also is that, you know, some of the things that we would automatically ask or would be automatically part of the planning because the hotel would have said, here are our rules and regulations that we're not in that same box, but maybe we should be. Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe those rules are something that should be kept, even if it's a backyard event. Because as
definitely.
An event, you know, it's one of those things that I typically say, you know, ask for forgiveness versus permission when it comes to like a neighborhood event. But, you know, as we do more and more of these, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to run into that issue. I don't want the local like golf cart police guy coming by and shutting down our party because, you know, the noise ordinance is at 10 o'clock.
Right. But even you were saying earlier about the bathroom issues. I mean, a lot of people don't understand when you have an in-home event or even just, you know, off-premise event. I mean, there's bathrooms involved and a lot of people don't understand like what comes with that. You know, it's not just, oh, the bathrooms show up. I mean, there's a lot to those bathrooms showing up and being removed and all of it.
Yes. Real life experience here. The truck couldn't back the restroom up into where the area that we were actually supposed to. And so we ended up using the tent guy and the furniture guys to manually roll this thing back. Well,
How was your day yesterday, darling?
Yes, right? And 48 hours.
I couldn't figure out why he wasn't responding to any of my text messages.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, fast forward 48 hours and all of a sudden it's like the client wants the restroom pulled out a full day earlier.
Early, yeah.
And I don't have the staff or anything in place. And all of a sudden I'm like, oh my God, how do I get this, you know, it took all of us to get it in. It's going to take a group of us to get it out. And she wants it out a day early, you know? And so that's part of that education. That's part of that learning, that education about the things that we need to talk to our clients about, you know?
Definitely.
I mean, if you had communicated that and been like, if you want it done earlier, we need to know now because certain things have to be in place. And I think right now communicating with people is even more imperative when you talk about whether in photography, like your photo list of what's really important, understand who people are. And maybe the bride and groom know who people might be. We talk about those little signs that people have, little, you can touch me, please don't touch me, please keep your 6 feet. You know, it's like, maybe the groom know this. But it's also just knowing, like you said, when do you want, you know, when do you want us to tell your guests that it's over? Because if in someone's home, like you said, it's more laid back. Like we had a couple couples, and I have to tell you, my couples did my dishes. So I was like, stay as long as you want.
Stay as long as you want.
Here's very nice.
They were helping me clean and everything. But as a planner, I also wish that I had a planner.
Tiffany's like, we're having brunch tomorrow
feel like
too,
you
by the way.
It all yourself. And I don't think that brides in their home that necessarily they feel like, oh, I got this. I have a friend that helped me. Well, I'm from the industry and I regret not having certain things checked.
Well, that third person, that's mm-hmm. not emotionally connected to the rest of the family.
Or even people who are wrangling the other vendors. So like our videography was, which was like just the streaming, right? So you couldn't see the two boys on the end because of where they placed it. But I didn't see where they placed it because I was put away in a room. And a planner would have been like, hey, do you know that there's this many people on the sides? You're going to need to back up. My person didn't know to do that because she's not a professional. She's a friend. So even somebody who is in the industry, I made that mistake. So I feel like even if a day of coordinator, I think that that's important. You may not have needed it. It's in your home. You may not have needed it till the day, but having it on the day.
Right.
There, I think, and I hope that planners, I know some planners and I know you guys kind of plan the whole thing, but even on the day coordinating is imperative right now when you're doing it in your home. I've done
even more imperative.
Even more, yeah.
That hotel professional that you might have relied on beforehand, even though it's not their job. And, right. and mm-hmm. we've talked about this on previous shows. Their job is to sell the hotel and to make sure the food and beverage is done correctly. But their job is not to run your wedding. It's not. And a lot of times things fall through. But when it comes to your house, I think it's even more imperative to have somebody that is your advocate in all those things. Because they need to make sure that they take care of your house, make sure the vendors take care of your house, make sure the vendors are bringing the right equipment because it is different. One of the things that came up was electricity.
Oh, yeah.
Power, like extension cords and things like that.
Yes. I ended up going to Home Depot the day before and just buying a ton of extension cords just to have it because I realized that you know, we're used to a ballroom where people just plug into the wall. Of course, there's going to be an outlet nearby. Well, this particular property had outlets outdoors, but there were no wires coming to it. So whoever redid the house just put in these outlet boxes, but didn't run any wire to them. So they didn't work at all. And so we had to run power through the house. But, you know, if I hadn't thought about like, oh, gosh, let me go get some extension cords just to make sure. Because, again, the vendors... You know, it's a learning curve for them as well. You know, they're not used to having to do in-home events and weddings are larger and more difficult than a backyard barbecue. They just are.
Yeah. And we talked a little bit beforehand about one of the things that I learned when we were in North Carolina for a wedding were things that as we are pivoting to all of these things, we're learning. So we've done some indoor events where they have the beautiful catering shields where people come up and everything's turned into an action station, which I kind of like.
Yeah. Everything. Everything's an action
station. But their shields were blowing off their tables. And I was like, I didn't even think about that. Like, how do you clamp it? Oh, now do you clamp it and then weight down the table? Like, wow, that's important. And I wouldn't have thought about that until I saw it fly across the courtyard. And you're just, that's a safety issue.
Right.
So caterers are pivoting. Everybody's pivoting on safety things, and they may not have the certain tools. Everybody's going, oh, I need to bring that now. Oh, I need to have that now. Oh, I might need some cinder blocks in my truck because we might need to weight something down. Tom Travato of Naples, the florist for my wedding, said he has a bunch of cinder blocks that he'll wrap in black so that he can weight down tables because that very thing. So, I have a toolbox, but I don't have cinder blocks, but I'm like, wow, it's important to have that because I can't imagine what else are you guys bringing to the table per se? What are you guys bringing to the events that you didn't bring before?
Well, I brought a water hose. I know that seems random, but the tent people had, had filled the water barrels on the tents, obviously, but the house itself didn't have, because they had just moved in. So the house, they've only owned the house for three months. So there were a lot of those little things that they didn't actually already have, you know, bought, because they came down from up north. So really, they've only spent, I think, 3 total weeks in this house. So they hadn't bought any hoses. They hadn't bought any extension cords. They hadn't bought any lighting or any, not even a barbecue or any of those things. And so, you know, I had to think that direction, like, what are even the basics that somebody might need? And we needed that. We ended up needing that hose because, you know, if you spill something on, let's say, while setting up, you're going to have to be able to hose it off before the event, you know, especially like food. You got to hose food off, you know, because gross.
What the about help?
Yeah, the help. Oh gosh. And I did actually, I hosed myself. I literally hosed myself off because it was so hot and gross. And then I changed into my suit. But, Anna, what about you? What are some of the things that you're like, oh gosh, now these are some of the things I have to think about.
The first thing that I could say would be gloves. I mean, you know, just as an event planner, you are picking up after people and touching different things throughout the room. So putting the gloves on and maybe picking up someone's drink and taking it to the bar to make sure one area is a little more cleaned up than it, you know, than it should be. I mean, we always find things laying around. So for me, it would be that. I mean, I must change the gloves, you know, 30, 40 times throughout an event, just because once you touch one thing, if they got to come off and a new pair has got to come on.
Trash bags.
Hand sanitizer. Yeah. Hand sanitizer. Yeah.
I'm actually kind of fascinated about the cinder block thing, because you said they wrap the cinder blocks and then put them on the table. Are we talking about food table, or are we talking about
kissing? Like under, yeah.
So he didn't want people to just see cinder blocks on the table. So he wraps them in fabric, and he, like, if it's a high boy, he'll put it on the legs and then put the linens on it. But
got it.
You know, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And caterers are now screwing down the plastic things onto certain tables or clamping them down so that they'll stay put if it's windy. But if the wind takes the table, then the whole table goes. So they're weighting down the table, then putting on the linen, then putting on the plastic shield, then clamping the shield to the table. Because when we were at North, I noticed they had little, you know, little bricks weighting it down. Like after it blew the first time, they're like, oh, we'll put this brick on there. But it took the bricks with it, and there were little kids there. Like, it really could have been a safety issue.
Well, so that's a process.
Yeah.
It's a process to setting up the event, because it's layers upon layers of being built. And I didn't even think about the linen, because the events that we've been doing, we've been, you know, a little plug for Events on the Loose. We've been renting our tables and chairs from Events on the Loose. So they were linenless, so to speak, which was awesome, because I didn't have to worry about the linen flying up because of the wind and taking everything off the table. But you know, that again, that would have been something that I would have been like, and today it's really windy outside. It is crazy windy outside. Can you imagine linen right now? It would literally, just pulling it, you know, and hopefully all the stuff on the table.
I have a little trick for that, a photo trick. So if you take paracord, black paracord, and you take tent ties, like the skewers that you put down to hold a tent in.
Yeah.
And actually put the paracord over, like catty corner over a leg, and push it into the ground, and you put another one and make an X, and it'll keep the table secure to the ground.
That's smart.
But that's if you're on dirt, right?
If you're out on the beach or if you're on dirt, I mean, obviously you can't do that in concrete, but there are things, because people are doing more outside. Florida, we're very lucky. We are used to doing events outside. We're used to having to pivot when you're doing linenless tables, or using weights or somehow to put the, you know, keep the linens from flying away. There's just a few things that we are not accustomed to right now with, you know, like I said, the shields, you know, and.
Well, you know, one of the things that I was just thinking about, and that it was brought up at the early in the event, is glassware by the pool. Because a lot of hotels don't allow you to have glassware because of breakage, because if it falls to the bottom of the pool, you're not going to be able to see it because it's glass.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I actually brought that up to my client early on the conversation. It's like, do you want plastic or glass? And if you have glass, these are the things that we need to kind of keep in mind. So the next day when you have all your guests over, you know, be careful. Let's make sure that if there's glass breakage, that we make a note of it and that it gets taken care of.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And if you hire Keith Ward Events for fancy, and we put lights in the bottom of the pool anyway, so we'll see. Okay.
We did. We used the floor lights, so waterproof floor lights, and you know, like extra
blue. It was beautiful. Right. It looked great.
It turned out really, really good. But you know, those are those little things that you would have been like, oh, that's typically what you use for a floral centerpiece. Oh, let's throw them in the pool and make the pool sparkle. You know, but also, what about pool lights? A lot. This pool had an ugly white light. You know, traditional. But you know, a lot of pools sometimes people forget to even turn on the pool light. Or what about somebody that falls in? You know.
Ooh, that happened at a wedding before. It wasn't a wedding, it was a corporate event. And they were they put the dance floor, like it was a pool, like an infinity pool. And then it had like a moat around the pool. And the woman was dancing. And I could see it as the photographer. I saw it happening. And she just went right in. She banged up me. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I could tell that it was going to happen before it happened. I was like, it was the worst place for a dance floor ever. But I'm not in charge. So I was like, all I did was photograph her falling.
Well, that's fun. That's something to go on the corporate website. Well, we actually lined the pool with these balls, these light up balls to kind of light up the perimeter of the pool, just to kind of, but you know, that was both a blessing and a curse because there wasn't a lot of room for the cocktail tables. So it reminded people not to fall into the pool, but also it reduced the amount of room that there was to get around a table. So it was kind of one of those, like, I think next time I'm probably going to find something that's smaller, more specific that, you know.
None of them broke, though. That's what I was worried about.
Yeah, none of them broke, which was really awesome. The other thing that I learned is measure, because the tent was ended up being, right? The tent actually ended up being 5 feet larger than they had that was on the order. So it was originally supposed to be a 25 by 30 clear tent, and the company brought a 30 by 30. Okay. Yay. So two feet of those, you know, two of those legs of the tent actually ended up on the outside of the gate. Luckily, the gate was only about waist high, so we were able to do it. But normally, you wouldn't have been able to do that. You know, you would have a normal size fence, and it would have been on a neighbor's lawn. Luckily, this backed up to a golf course, and so we were able to have that extra footage. And it actually ended up being the owner, the property still owned by the house, not the golf course, so we didn't get in trouble for it. You know, but those are those things that doing a backyard event, you know, a ballroom, we know that space and size. We can go to all seated. We can pull up that diagram. We know specifically how it's going to look, how it's going to feel. But backyards, you know, it's a different story. And sometimes you have to redo the floor plan once the furniture comes in. Have you guys had to do that?
And educate your client with what furniture is really going to be needed for that event. I mean, some people just think, oh, we're going to get some round tops and do this. And then it's like, no, you're going to, you know, like you're saying, like bathrooms and lighting at the end of the night. I mean, it's important that, you know, your guests come in and they leave safely. So there's so much logistics to what goes into all of that. You know, and you hope that people listen to you, and it's not just all about the linens, and which is one of my favorite parts besides flowers, but, you know, that they get in there and they're safe and there is lighting and there is all of those, you know, protocols for them and enough furniture and enough seating and all that.
Well, the timeline's even different, you know, when you do.
Oh, definitely.
In a backyard, because you have to build in time for people to bring things in. Like we ended up working 2 days before the event for the tent, for the furniture, for the lighting, you know, and of course that's an interruption into the family's daily life, because you have people in your yard either the day before or 2 days before and the day after or 2 days after. Like this event was on a Friday, so a lot of the stuff didn't come out until Sunday or until Monday.
Right.
You know, they didn't want to pay extra for the Sunday removal, except for the toilet for some random reason. Okay. But, you know, I mean, Tiffany, for your wedding, you talked about having a third person that, you know, wasn't emotionally connected that could kind of lead people where they should go. What were some of the other things that came up during your wedding?
Again, it was a lot of what happened is when you're the bride, you get put away, or that I did. I wanted to have that experience. So I was literally for 30 minutes, I couldn't control anything. I was put away and I couldn't tell the guests where to sit. I couldn't tell them, like communicate with the videographer for the streaming, like where to be. I didn't get to see the food set up in the beginning. So there are things that I didn't worry because it was Danielle Peacock and it looked amazing. Right. There were things I wanted to write professionals, but again, just being able to communicate what I wanted, because I also wanted the surprise that everybody see me when I came out of the room. So I could have been out there and I could have done a first look and I could have been, you know what I mean? I chose to be put away. Right. With that decision came of me being able to let something go. Unfortunately, there's one thing I couldn't get back, which is on our video, you couldn't see my son and my stepson on the sides. And so sadly, the people at home couldn't see them. And they also didn't get our professional. And I didn't know that. So again, they were set, so I didn't see it. So you lose that. But if I had a professional where I could have communicated, made sure they were where they needed to be, because my friend was really helping me wrangle. We have four kids. So like they were really helping that, making sure people wore the mask. They were in charge of playing the music. And that's a lot for a friend. My friend should have just been able to chill out and watch my wedding. And she was gracious enough to help me. And I think that that's why it's important to sometimes have somebody that's there to work.
Right.
Yeah, you could be colleagues with them. You can be friends with them, but that their role was there to work.
And lesson learned, because you brought up Zoom, lesson learned is that you got to make sure that the Zoom camera has a microphone that.
Yeah, he was mic'd. He was mic'd. And I don't think that they warned him of what not to say while he was hanging out. There was some very colorful language. He was like, what did I say? And I was like, I don't know.
Enough.
Oh, that's so funny.
Rewind the video. We can rewind it a million times.
And it wasn't their fault. They didn't realize when they got here where we were going to be standing.
Yeah.
You know, and so again, it's that it's really about communication. And so if you're able to communicate with your planner, even if it's a day of, and that's the question too. So there are people, I think that brides or people are just having a party. Remember, people have parties for more than weddings.
Yeah.
Whether it's an anniversary or bat mitzvah, but if people are taking the time to have this celebration, it's important to them. So, you know, when planners are out there saying, oh, this is my fee or this is how we work when we are doing a whole event, but people knowing that you can get somebody for the day, you can, right. If possible, who's out there? What should you be looking for on a day of professional, you know, and what that costs and what the cost associated with that versus when you're with somebody who's from the beginning to from the planning stages to the loadout stages, because a day of doesn't do loadout.
Well, and one other thing, so, you know, when I was talking about the Zoom is that, you know, because we had Zoom for the ceremony and then we had a separate link for the speeches worked out great because we could put them closer to the camera, but the ceremony, you know, we had to have that back a little bit so they could get the full HOOPA visual. And we should have had a separate microphone just for the Zoom camera, you know, but that was, you know, a learning curve for us as well, because the Zoom thing actually was a last minute, like day of kind of thing. So, you know, all of a sudden they're like, oh, let's do a Zoom thing. I'm like, okay, we'll make it happen for you. But, you know, moving forward, I know that, you know, I need to add a microphone to make sure that the people at home can hear the vows. Right.
And I'll tell you, I held the Zoom iPad for the wedding in North Carolina for the same girl that helped me with my wedding. I was her Zoom person.
Oh, I love that.
It was great. However, the minute that it started processing down the aisle, the iPad flipped off the tripod. It like unclicked. So now I'm holding it and I'm trying to reverse it so I could see it and get the reverse, but it wouldn't do it. So all of a sudden now I'm backing up like this and I'm trying to and then I go to film it, then it works. And then they're filming and they're up at the, you know, the beautiful North Carolina mountains are behind them, but they're all backlit.
Oh, so nobody can see the face.
Besides whatever, oh shit, everybody heard, you know.
Yeah. True.
My breathing, because now my heart is palpitating, but there was no mic. So I will say that you need, if you have guests and important people who are important enough for you to Zoom your event, then you need to have it professionally done get the mic, get it so that it's recorded. Because I did a shit job. And I'm sure with the backlit, they really couldn't be seen. You know, and when people are professionally doing a stream, they are professional for a reason. They have lit, even if they have a round light, they're lighting it, they mic the groom, you know, you can hear it. So I do think that that is, if it's something that people, if you're saving money because 100 guests can't come to your wedding, then utilize that money to stream it properly. Because I tried to help this girl and I did not do it very good.
An interesting part of this conversation. Budgets are different when we do an event in the backyard. So a lot of people assume that they're going to save a lot of money because they're doing the event in the backyard, but they're not. You know, there's additional costs that come with delivery fees and furniture and tents and lighting and all of these things that we have to bring in.
Bathrooms that tell us that.
Right? We'll add to your budget. So don't assume that if you're planning a wedding in your backyard that it's going to be less expensive. You're going to have less people, so you're going to save money that way. But, you know, as a planner, that's something that I had to educate my clients about. It's like, you know, yes, the costs are going to be similar to the hotel. They're just going to be going to different buckets versus, you know, we got one big chunk of change, but that's because they did have the chairs and the staffing, the kitchen. But now those buckets are, we have somebody like Peacock's Catering, but you know, that's food and beverage and service. They're not providing the tables and the chairs and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I do feel that as vendors, I was lucky on my end, obviously with this, but when people can't come to a wedding because of COVID,
right.
We be very sensitive to that because even though people are powering on to have their event, they're still very emotionally tied to the fact that people that they love cannot be there. The wedding that I was at, the groom's family couldn't travel and the photographer had sent a photo list and it was kind of obvious about his family not being there. And he got upset. He got like emotional and it wasn't before the day, but I was like, it was a little insensitive. Not meaning to be, it was probably just, you know, it's probably their stereotypical thing that they send. But when people can't come, all of a sudden that day, as you know, adrenaline is going, emotion is going, and all of a sudden, like John, my husband.
Oh gosh, look at you, husband.
My husband's brother couldn't make it, and I, you know, he did get choked up because we did make a comment about who couldn't be at the wedding.
Either.
Not only people who had passed, but then people who were watching at home. And we were very clear about thanking people who took the time to watch from home. But he was sad. And even though we're powering on and people are like, well, it was your choice. It's still sad. And
well, come on. That's a little rude. To be honest, though, oh, that's your choice. It's like, you know, guys, there's a pandemic going on. You know, screw off. There's
you never know why people are powering on to do their event now. People could have family members who may not even be there next year. There's a lot of reasons people are getting married currently and then in this environment. So maybe they didn't have next year. I feel like people understand that yes, your neighbors are judgy. Your friends are judgy. People do judge time. And I think that we all kind of need to be sensitive and understanding to that.
And it's a personal choice. And honestly, you know, I have a lot of clients that had moved originally to a later date. Now that later date has come up, they don't want to have to move it again, you know, because they want to get married. And honestly, good for them. I want people to get married, you know, and if there's a finding a way to make that happen and we learn these kind of things, good for us, because as a whole, our community of event planners and event professionals are learning, and great, because that means that we become a more well-rounded group of people that can basically do an event anywhere, anytime without hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But you know, one of the things that I really miss with doing backyard events is the grand reveal. I love the grand reveal. You know, the ballroom doors open, the angels sing, the clouds part, you know, the bride cries. When you have a backyard event, you don't get that big grand reveal because there's not curtains. Well, I guess you could put curtains, but there's not something that separates you and the guest, you know, from the ceremony to the cocktail to the dinner. You're all in one large space. And so the reveal is when they're walking in, and I feel like some of the drama goes away, you know, and I miss that. I can't wait to be able to like open the doors and ta-da, look what we did for you. Look how gorgeous it is. Look at all your ideas. How beautiful is everything? Anna, what do you think about that?
I totally agree. I mean, that's one of the biggest parts of a wedding. I think maybe now we'll be doing the big exit, you know, how they leave. Maybe that'll be the big new trend.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
I hadn't even thought about that because honestly, like, you know, we did for this particular, we had a limo, but of course everybody had left by the time.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Everybody had left because everybody was hanging out and drinking. So the six people that were still sitting outside were like, yay!
The bride did help us with a little early exit. So I do appreciate her for
that.
That's
nice. Yeah. You know, I wanted to mention one thing about the Zoom that you were talking about, Tiffany. I think with a lot of people that are having these different, you know, virtual events or hybrid events, it's kind of nice, you know, as an event planner, when we have it, we do day before where we make sure all of our guests are able to log on because there is a generational gap between me and grandmom and your teenage cousin. So we want to make sure that everyone can get on. They're feeling comfortable about their speaker working. And I think that's just an added bonus that you can give your client nowadays.
Where you're supposed to log on and it was supposed to automatically mute you. But one of the great aunts figured out how to do something and she flushed the toilet in the middle of the ceremony. And it's
flushing the toilet. There is that education where somebody is coming up to the camera. Can everybody see me? I'm sorry.
Nobody. It was just that. But I could see the chats coming. And I was like, oh no.
I say a missed opportunity for 2000 flushes to rebrand right now.
There you go.
Oh my God. There's something very personal and lovely about those kind of mistakes as well.
It's definitely a story though.
Yeah, there's something very, you know, human in that act of random noise. And I think that's the other thing is that, you know, I tell clients all the time, it's like, you know, things are going to happen. People are going to trip. Somebody's going to do something stupid, but allow that to be part of the humanity of your wedding. Like, especially like ring bearers and flower girls like wandering on direction. Because people can connect. Everybody understands that. Everybody gets the great aunt flushing the toilet in the middle of the room and like, oh God, yes, oh my God. You know, but there's something about that kind of bands everybody together. So, you know, don't be too worried about that if that happens to you, because that it will end up being something that you laugh about and love.
God bless the little ones.
Yeah.
Or the best pictures.
Right.
It's like that crazy uncle that goes on the dance floor, you know, and everybody remembers it, you know?
It does the Elaine dance. The crazy
uncle. My favorite.
Fully knowing his name is Don.
Ah, that's funny. Well, you know, the other thing I wanted to bring up is also when we're doing events in people's houses, a lot of times there's emotion built into that house, especially if it's something that they've lived in. I find that people let their guard drops even further. You know, we already have to deal with the psychology of an event when we go to a hotel because parents have installed buttons that they push all the time. I feel that they're even more dramatic when we go into their house because it's a familiar territory. So where the mother may have put on her best, you know, her minds, her P's and Q's a little bit more in a hotel, in her home, she's not going to at all. You know,
queen of the castle.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're really going to be themselves. And so it's really having to adjust everything even more so.
I'll tell you, even with kids, I think that my kids are on better behavior when they're in an environment like a hotel where they, you know, they know that they're supposed to behave a certain way. Where here they were getting a little bit more rambunctious, I think, because they were at home.
Right.
You know? And so I was like, no, you have to, you know, it's interesting. So with kids, I think, and anybody, it's harder to switch gears, you know, now a new setting for them.
Well, our bride got a little intoxicated, and we ended up doing the cake cutting in their living room while she was lounging on her couch. I cannot wait to get the photos of that. That's so
awesome. I want the photos of the whole entire loaf of bread in the restaurant. I want that.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God.
Maybe that's one thing that we learn, that our couples or our family members might be drinking a little bit more, you know, at home. So we should, you know,
be a little bit more careful. But that's why it's important to have people like us, like people like Peacock's Catering, like people like, you know, Elegant Parties and all the like, you know, Motivate Events, all these great companies down here that, you know, that know how to do these events, that are experts in their field, that have done events in these backyards and in these personal spaces, because it's already going to be a landmine filled event with the emotions and the general vibe that comes from family being in their own home. You know, throw in wind, rain,
the hot sun.
Yeah, it's the hot sun and with a clear tent.
Saturday was hot and it was rain. Like, did you get as much rain as we did on Saturday?
Actually, I got it was awesome. Like, we missed all of the rain, but
My event got rained out.
It's scary because when you have a wedding at a home, I was putting down little carpets to make sure people didn't slip when they come in. When you're at a hotel, you don't have to think about those things. I didn't want people to mess up my floors. You know, like I was trying to think of that, and we were really concerned that the power was going to go out, which my wedding could have been candlelit, but I wouldn't have had the Zoom. Like I wouldn't have been streaming. So I was trying to be the bride and being like, you know what? It's fine. No problem. It'll look beautiful. But in the back of my mind, I was like, oh, crap. What if we powered it?
I think it's more important than ever that people roll with it. You know, when we're talking about doing an event in your personal space, when we talk about doing an event that's not in a hotel, that's a little bit more intimate, it's more important than ever that our clients roll with the day. And so that is our hour. I want to say thank you so much to everybody.
Thank you.
Anna Haas with Anna Haas Events, Tiffany Alcomo with Bliss Photo, Marcy Gutenberg with An Affair to Remember by Marcy, and Brooke Logan Stoner. It has been an awesome hour, and I can't thank you enough for all of your insights. Next week, we are welcoming New York Times writer Nicole Pagier, who's going to talk about what makes a great human interest story and how to be one of those leads that they reach out to when they're talking about a wedding event. So I hope that you guys join us next Tuesday at 2:00. It's going to be really interesting. Again, I want to say thank you to our entire panel. Everybody wave goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.